Hi everyone, my name is Patrick Akil, and if you're interested in working from anywhere, finding fulfillment and joy in what you do on a day-to-day, and getting stuff done with patience and empathy, this episode is for you. Joining me today is Eva Sahravi Ruiz. She's had many titles, mentor, speaker, marketing, and brand director, but what I truly love about her is her perspective on time and the patience in which she operates to get stuff done, and she loves what she's doing. She even has a podcast, which I'll put in the description below. Check her out. And with that being said, enjoy the episode. Beyond coding. So you're planning for 2025, but what is that planning then? Because you know when kind of the period is you want to go? Are you looking at...
For Japan?
Yeah.
Yes. Also 2024 already.
Yeah. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, both I want years. To go every year.
Yeah.
Every year. But in 2025, there is this Triennale, this art... contemporary art fest that only happens once every 3 years. So that one is for sure happening, but that we are going to that area in Japan. But Japan for me, for as long as I can in my life, it will be
every year
a yearly thing. Yeah,
it's incredible.
Yes. I said I want to be in contact with this culture.
Yeah.
And with this way of living and these people and nature. And I don't know what this country has, but I want to be in contact with this every year for 2 to 3 weeks.
Have you thought about like picking your stuff up and living there as well for like a longer period?
I think, if it was work related, like I could see myself, if I would have a project of like going there for 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
I would sign up.
Sounds like the dream.
Immediately.
Yeah.
But to live there, I think, and also I'm not so sure, like when it then comes to work environment, I think it's a pretty difficult culture.
It's tough from what I've seen.
Yeah, to work with, to work for, also as a woman. I'm not sure if I would want to comply too much to the rules in that regard, and they're quite strict. And I do know people working with Japanese people, not everybody, but it's not easy.
Yeah.
So I think the best is as visitor.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
I was thinking back actually, and I don't think I talked about this. When I joined CBIA, the team I was working with, we had a few teams, like two or three. And there was one team that was working on building a product that was going to go live in one of the Japanese regions, specifically. And they also got the experience because they wanted to meet the people there. So they flew over there and I wasn't in the team. I was so jealous.
Oh,
yeah. And then I was like, I want to be in this team. And then when I moved to that team, we pivoted from Japan to Russia.
That's quite the difference.
We also traveled to Russia, but then I couldn't go because I already had something booked. So basically, I missed out on the trip to Japan.
Oh.
And I also missed out on the trip to Russia.
I would definitely plan it in whichever way to go there. I mean, or I don't know, or maybe it is for me, it's really touching. They say everybody has like a spirit place or like spirit country.
Yeah.
I think that's for me. I don't know why. Once I land there, it's very special.
Yeah.
I feel very at home, very relaxed, very happy. And every time it's just the contrast is so big with us that it's the only place that I get surprised in a very positive way by something that I didn't expect or didn't know about, or like 2 to 3 times a day. That doesn't happen anywhere.
Yeah. And even before your first trip, did you already have this kind of thought of the Japanese culture? Or was it really when you landed there?
You know, when I finally landed there, for me it was like, how come did it take me this long to come here? Because I knew already that I was going to absolutely love it. I don't know why it took me that long, but but I finally did. And then since I was there, it's like, oh my gosh, no, I have to continue coming back because it's so big.
Yeah.
It's so huge that you're never ending. The country. So it's,
I have like FOMO, it's like fear of missing out so much right now.
yeah, it's really, and I have to say, people have a misconception about what it takes financially to travel to Japan, or that Japan is a very expensive country.
Yeah.
It's not really the case.
No?
No. That was something from, I don't know, the 80s maybe, when the yen was very strong, but it's not the case. It's really not the case. Of course, you have to pay for your flights, which also they're not as expensive as any other, foreign destination. And once you get there, of course, you can be in the 700 euro a night hotel room. But no, it's not expensive at all, both to stay and to eat Not at really? All. People have it completely wrong. Yeah. Yeah. It's really not expensive.
It's expensive.
No.
Yeah.
No. It's really like €8 for lunch, like proper lunch, and like €20 for dinner, but like a good dinner.
Yeah.
Like people don't even realize.
That's what I had in Portugal.
Yeah.
That's one of the big reasons why I loved it.
Yeah, but yeah. People wouldn't think of going to Japan because of that. And my reference is the vending machines.
Oh, yeah.
Which are everywhere. And
it's
then,
such a culture.
Yeah. It's every other 10 meters you have a vending machine. And for me, the reference is the bottle of water in the vending machine has had the same price since 2017.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Like okay.
It's like 100 yen. And then it's like, okay, 100 yen. 5 years ago, it was like €1.30 or something. And now 100 yen is like 69 cents.
Yeah.
It hasn't changed. So because they are so into themselves, I think, that they just don't deal with changes for their for their people. They're probably, everybody earns the same, prices remain the same, they don't have, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And the prices have not changed. So for us, every year it becomes even cheaper being there because just eating, buying food during the day, a coffee, anything, it's just, coming from the Netherlands is way cheaper a week in Tokyo than going to the supermarket here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no, people have but they've kept it. I think they keep the myth.
Yeah.
So people stay away. I think because many people put off the idea of going to Japan because they're afraid that it's going to be so expensive.
I said, yeah, I always thought it was going to be chunky. I feel like I have less and less reasons not to go.
Yes, yes, like, yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I would 100%, 1000% recommend it.
Yeah. Have you always kind of traveled around? Like, I know Japan is like a big thing and it's a yearly thing since 2017. Has it always been other countries as well?
Yes, I'm a big traveler. Yeah. I love traveling. I love the idea, especially to islands.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I am a bit of an island freak.
Okay.
So yeah, so, and Japan is also an island.
Of course.
So I usually end up since a few years, the majority of my time is always on islands.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's always like, okay, where is the next island to go and to discover? And yeah, less and less as I'm becoming older and older, but I am a very avid traveler, like getting in contact with new people, culture, food, just being outside of your usual place.
Yeah.
And especially if it can be good weather, warm, by the sea, where I can get up in the morning and have a swim as the first thing in the morning and just be surrounded by water and on a place which actually some people might feel claustrophobic on an island, and I get and I get the opposite. Like when I know I'm in this place and it's just, you know, nowhere to go, it's actually, I feel very happy. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And then doors are open. People know each other. Like there's something that the pace decreases tremendously the moment you're on an island. Everything's slow. Everything's friendly. Everything's safe. And it's beautiful. And it's good weather. And the landscape is just, so I don't know why, but yeah, I absolutely love islands. Yeah.
It's just like that.
I hope to end up living on one.
I think you will.
Yeah, I think I will.
I think I will. As well.
Yeah. Either in Spain or somewhere else, but I think so. Or at least part of the year.
Mm.
Maybe not fully, because it also ends up being quite lonely and sad in winter.
Yeah.
For example, if you depend on a ferry, or it depends on how small you go, but so maybe not the entire year, but definitely at least half of it or big parts. Yeah. So no, but it was always in my family since I was little. We always traveled, always every year to a different place. And then you get used to that. And then that curiosity, it just continues to grow. And, and for me, that was also one of the reasons why I decided at some point to also step out of like traditional corporate life, where I would only get like 25 days a year of holiday, which I thought this model doesn't work.
No.
Doesn't work. Have 365 a year and we only get 20 or 25 in this country, let alone other countries where they get like 1 week or 2 weeks. I think this is absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
I want to travel and I want it to be the other way around. I want to first travel and then do some work to also facilitate that lifestyle more than anything else. So yes, being somewhere else and discovering other people and cultures, it's like the moment I land anywhere, it's like, yeah, happy.
I'm getting more and more addicted to that. I'm not like you in the way that when I was growing up, we didn't really travel a lot. I have a big family and a lot of families abroad. Yeah. But when we would travel, it was usually for like weddings or for seeing family. Yeah. It wasn't really for like sightseeing. So even like my parents are both from Turkey, I would go there, but I wouldn't really know where I was in the city, where we would go to. I would go from door to door, from my aunt to my granddad to I don't know where to a wedding. So that was always kind of the vibe. And then once I got working more, once I started earning my own money, I started kind of thinking about traveling and actually wanting to travel. Before I joined Xebia, I wanted a start date that was going to be somewhere in January. Then my manager said, well, you can join, but we don't have a project for you. So maybe you always wanted to travel somewhere. And that's where I was like, maybe yes. Yes. So I booked like a trip for myself to New York City because I always said I had wanted to go there. I had never
been.
So that was kind of my first experience there. I'm very bad at taking holidays, taking time off. So I had always a lot of time. And now, especially with my girlfriend, because she loves traveling, we've been traveling more and more.
Yeah.
And probably when people are listening to this episode, I mean, I'm going to be working from remote. I'm going to work from Barcelona again. It's something we did last year. In May, we did Portugal. And soon I'm going to do Barcelona again. And I love kind of having this flexibility of balancing personal experiences, traveling, as well as work life now.
That is,
now they're like in parallel.
Exactly. And that is the best thing that has come out of this whole situation that we've had in the last couple of years. The fact that before for me was also like either I work on a project or I travel.
Yeah.
There was nothing in between. And now there is the possibility of combining being somewhere else, get embedded in the culture, and also not have the rush of like going everywhere. Like if you go for a month to Barcelona, like you don't have to get like completely crazy every day, like we gotta go everywhere, we're gonna be here for a month, and you kind of feel like you live there. I had the same. I wasn't that much from like the weekend trips or like in and out fast, and I would start the year in Bali or I would start somewhere else for like a month or two and really take the time to be there. Only it was a break and then work.
Yeah.
And now those two things can be combined, and that makes it even more interesting. I never thought that would come that quickly, where I could be on an island somewhere and be working for my clients and have time for myself and time to be there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But even before then, you already had this itch because 25 vacation days is, I get that. It's not.
Yes.
I completely get that.
Yeah.
Is that a big reason why you kind of stepped out of the corporate life or what were a few other reasons?
It was a big one. It was having the opportunity to have more time for myself and to be able to do several things. One also like, I have my mother who is getting old and she lives in Valencia in Spain where I come from. And normally I would like go in and out in a weekend. After a week of work, I would get a flight, arrive on a Friday, leave on a Sunday or maybe Thursday evening, take Friday off, in and out and stressed and tired. And now I can go there for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or take the time that I want to have. And if I would do that on a regular contract, go to Valencia for 2 to 3 weeks, that's gone. My holidays are gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have Christmas and that's it. So it's like, and then? So being able to go to Valencia for longer periods of time and without having to rush and not stressed and just also have the opportunity to be there, to be present.
Recharge even.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Indeed. I take time, I go to the beach, I sleep a lot, I go out to restaurants, like I take care of her and we take time together. So it's much nicer that. And then having my own time for my own travels as well, where indeed I want to go like 1 to 2 to 3 months at the beginning of the year in winter away. I don't want to be here in the cold and the rain. So If I were to work as a freelancer or if I were to have my own company, I can have the luxury position where I can work 9 months a year.
Yeah.
And that's enough. And of course, I could work 11, but if I can work 9 and be off for 3 months a year, then that's phenomenal to me.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah. So I made my calculations and I'm like, I'm going to be making the same amount of money or even more.
Yeah.
That depends on how much I decide to work. But sure. And then I'm going to be able to have this lifestyle. So why would I go back to a traditional corporate life?
Yeah.
So at the moment that I stepped out, I didn't know that I wasn't going back.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're still in that mode and there were still talks for me to maybe come back. But when I really stopped and I took distance and I went away and I went traveling for about half a year, it was like, ooh, no, I don't want to go back to that.
Yeah.
I don't want to go back to the... And also one of the reasons was I don't necessarily want the 9-to-5 for years and years with the same people in the same building with the same conversations. If I can do it for shorter periods of time where I can go in and out companies, help them through a certain period of time and then move on to the next place, I will be able... This I know now also in retrospect after having done quite a few is that I can be way more efficient and objective. I don't have to get into the politics of everything.
No skin in the game.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm only there to help and I'm only there to support and to enable and to provide and to guide and to put my expertise to their service. So it's like, you're received in a very different way as well.
Yeah.
As the person coming in, because I have zero interest in any politics in that regard. I'm just here to help. So that also means that my expertise or my arrival is welcomed in a very open, different way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's no questions, there are no doubts. It's always like, you know, thank you, good that you're here. And let's get to work. So all in all, it had so much advantages for my own well-being, for my lifestyle, for my financials, for everything that I'm like, yeah, this is the way to go. And I've always done that. Like I've always tried things. If it doesn't work, I can always go back to a regular job tomorrow, right? So let me try and see if I can create this lifestyle that I have envisioned in my head. Only that was before COVID. And it wasn't that easy yet. And now things have accelerated so much more.
I can imagine.
Yeah, to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So now it's even easier. And also the opportunities have opened even more, in my case, beyond the Netherlands. Like my network and my business was pretty much the Netherlands before. And since COVID as well, it has opened up internationally because people are much more open for you to be working, doesn't matter where. So, it was, we were talking before the recording that I was working for a company in Lithuania that I've never been there. I've never met them. We've never met in real life.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting in Amsterdam or I'm sitting in Sri Lanka as it happened during the project, or I'm sitting in Spain and it doesn't matter. That's something that would have been unthinkable a couple of years before.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I always hoped that one day we would get there, but I thought it would take another 15, 20 years for that to happen.
Yeah.
And now it's happening. So it's pretty incredible.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
When you were talking about working from a different country, I mean, I have the same, and I feel like it does require a lot of discipline because you are there, you're in a new environment. You can do so many things. You can fill up your whole calendar basically with activities.
Yes.
Like how do you still be effective in the work that you're doing at that same time?
Yeah.
Do you have any advice there?
I'm very... very committed and I'm very responsible in that regard. I truly enjoy what I do. So
that helps.
Yeah. So I really like the 8 hours that I am supposed to be working for that client. It doesn't matter where I am. The moment the time starts, I'm like, okay, here we go. I make my coffee. I sit down and I really work my hours because I get, also because I work in ad interim. Mm. So I do 7 months, 8 months usually. You come in with a lot of energy to be very focused during that time. And for me, 7 months is enough for me to be able to see the effect of my work.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So I really, really put myself to it and I lose myself in it and I'm super responsible. So, but I truly enjoy it. Yeah. So it's like, okay, for the time that I'm here, it doesn't matter where I'm sitting. This is my working time now. And I go in and all I'm thinking is about the client and my team and the people that I'm working for and that I'm working with.
Yeah.
So it takes discipline, but it also depends on the environment where you are. Like I was mentioning to you that during that time for this Lithuanian company, I went for 3 weeks to Sri Lanka, and I was working there, starting at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So I would get up really early in the morning, and then go surfing or do yoga, and then have a really great breakfast, and then massage or a walk or whatever it would be, and lunch, and still it was only 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and then I would just either move to the co-working area because I was in a co-working space, and it would be by then it would be full with people, and you can feel also.
Yeah,
like everyone's all working. These nomads and all these people that are there, everybody's working and like seriously working. Yeah, and then it's there's work and play. Yeah, and then weekends the place would be completely empty.
Yeah,
it was really a Monday to Friday, even though you're in Sri Lanka. Everyone around the time where Europe would wake up or the US, depending on you know who you work with, everyone was there. So you get really also like. Yeah,
energized.
It's infectious. Yeah. Or I would go to my room where I had everything set up because I was there for quite a long time. So I had perfect connection. And then I had like a desk and everything. And then, okay, 1 o'clock, I go up and then, you know.
That's it.
Yeah. That's it. Get to work. And no, it's, I can imagine that it's, it can be tempting, but no, for me, it's the other way around. Is I had the entire morning for myself, which was beautiful. And then, okay, and now work.
Yeah, I get that as well.
Yeah,
I found a way to balance it out. And I think for me, it's also easier because I've always stayed in the same time zones.
Yes.
Like when I would move time zones, that's when I'm like, okay, then it probably gets a bit harder because then you have to manage your own time.
Yeah.
If you're not a morning person and all of a sudden you have the morning off, yeah, find a morning routine. It's like you have to do something.
Yes.
So I've always kind of had that discipline also probably because it was easier time zone wise.
Yeah.
But one of the things I love is as soon as you go into the evenings or even on the weekends, you're out of your environment in so much that you have to kind of reinvent yourself or you put things in perspective and you really learn a lot about what you like and what you don't like. Because all of a sudden, I mean, there's not a lot of friends there. You make new friends. There's no family there usually.
Yes.
So it's like really kind of, an adventure, I feel like, every weekend or every night, basically. And I love that.
Yes, and it's very easy to meet people because everybody is in the same mental space and many people on their own and many people working and it just becomes very, very easy to connect with people and people also respect very much, okay, if you have to work or if you want time for yourself or if we go out or and then it's a very interesting also the amount of people that you meet that are completely different to you or at least to me because I am much older than a lot of these people.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm in Sri Lanka, last year. No, 20. Yeah, yeah. So a couple of years ago, I was like 48. And people there are like 25.
You don't look that old at all, I must say.
No, thanks. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, I know. But I just turned 50, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I don't know. It's also like I have like this young spirit.
Good genes.
Yeah. Yes.
And young spirit.
Yes. Like I would go to Sri Lanka and be there at 48, and there was no one of 48 like there. Yeah. But then I get to talk to people of 25 to 35, and it would happen often, like. Because I wanted to get up early and do yoga rather than go party, you know. So, but it was really funny. Like we would like get together or have a drink after work and, you know, on the terrace and dinner, whatever. And then around 10 o'clock, 10:30 is when everybody would start saying, hey, we're going to meet downstairs in 5 minutes and we're going to go to some whatever party. And I was like,
peace.
Okay, see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Not for me. Yeah. And then everybody's like, yeah, okay, fine. You know, cool. Yeah. And then you see them the morning after like that and you're all fresh and it's But it's cool. But yeah, that makes me also get out of my normal space and routine and get to meet people that I would never probably meet, and on an age that I don't get in touch with, or their lifestyle is very different than mine in the Netherlands.
Absolutely.
So it makes it so interesting.
Yeah. I mean, you touched on kind of stepping out of the corporate space, and I've mentioned many times also on this podcast that I have thoughts about starting my own company. I've always said I was going to do it. I feel like I am going to do that.
Yeah.
Or even freelancing for a bit. What were kind of the downsides also of stepping out of that environment? Because I feel like for me right now, I feel like it would be a lot more work, right? Because I'm in control of how much I work. I'm in control of kind of the project and the assignment. There's a lot of fears and like insecurities that come from taking that step.
Yes.
What are some of the downsides you could share?
Yeah, it's very strange. Depends on where you're coming from. I was at the time when I left, I was at Vodafone, and I was at like the peak of my career, a very big company and big title, and then you get a lot of attention.
Yeah.
That is something that people need to be able to deal with, and I always realized that it wasn't about me. It was about my title.
Yeah.
If anyone else in that position would get the same attention, but I would get often asked to go and speak at places. I would be asked to go to events. I would get, which I hardly accepted, but loads of invitations to like the craziest things that you can imagine.
Like a podcast.
Yes. Yeah. And sometimes it would be like, well, we're going to fly you in a helicopter to Ibiza, and then we're going to do a party. It's like, what? No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. No. So it can be very, very tempting and very enticing. And suddenly, all that is gone, you know, all the press, all the media, all the interviews, all the stuff that you normally would get.
None of it
from one day to the other. And you need to realize that there is a very high way up, and then there's a very high, you know, low way down. And you have to be okay with that, because suddenly it's all gone, and you need to realize that that's not your worth, and that's not because it's you, it's because it's what you represent.
Was it unexpected when it happened?
No, for me it was fine, and I was totally prepared for it, because I never really took that much of that attention or I did it for my work and I enjoyed it very much. And
you knew what it was.
Yeah. And I wanted to sometimes say things. So if I wouldn't have the opportunity with a point of view, but it was always about Vodafone or our brand or what we were doing. Same with public speaking. I absolutely loved it. And then, you know, that first of all, that is all gone. And then you come into also a little bit of like a crisis. But not really in my case, because I was like, I was open. I was just curious more than anything. But it's like, oh my gosh, and now what? Like, who am I?
Yeah.
Yeah. And something really interesting happened to me when I quit. And then I left, and then I went traveling. The first place was Bali, I remember. And then the second place was Australia. Mm. And then I went to New Zealand, and only when I went to New Zealand, it was the first time that on the landing card, it said profession. It wasn't on the landing card in Bali or in Australia. It said profession. And okay. I was like, ooh, what?
What do you have to fill in now? Exactly.
I don't have one.
Yeah.
Like, what do I say? Like, what am I? Mm-hmm. So that was quite confronting.
Wow, such a simple thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. Because you never saw that so visibly. And then it was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. For the first time in 23 years,
yeah,
I cannot answer when somebody tells me, what do you do? So that's also quite shocking, which is your choice. And you've decided that you're going to go away and take time and think and all of that. But it's like, ooh.
Okay. Yeah, at that moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
What am I? Who am I? So that's and who am I without the identity of my work, of my job, of my title? That's one. And then the second one is obviously when you decide that you're not going to go back to just the security of a regular job. What's going to happen?
Yeah.
Am I going to get projects? Am I going to get hired? Am I going to work in the way that I would want to? And then, how and when is that is that going to happen? Am I going to be able to maintain myself? And that insecurity or that not knowing if the next project is going to come or not.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, what I always tell people is, I don't do crazy, drastic decisions. Mm. Like, things are pretty calculated. It looks like quite brave, and maybe it is, but I took a lot of time to prepare for that exit. I yeah. took time to save money for that trip. I took time for many things, and I still do today, preparing myself with enough money in the bank to bridge a certain period of time.
Yeah.
So that if that next project doesn't come, I don't need to panic
yeah.
necessarily that quickly. If you go month to month, yeah, then you have a problem. So, and even then, even if it doesn't work, then I will go back to a regular job.
Yeah.
Like, people sometimes they have too much fear of the step, but what is the worst, really the worst that can happen? Like, really, really the most dramatic, like, you really cannot eat. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's going to be a friend. There's going to be a family member. There's going to be someone that I go to Valencia and I stay with my mother for another 2 months until I find a job. Like, for me, I was always like, it's never going to be that dramatic.
Yeah.
Unless it has to do with your health. If you're healthy, what is the worst that can happen? You will be back on track, and I don't have any problem. If it really was down to being able to pay my mortgage and I need to work as a cashier in a supermarket, I will do it.
Yeah.
I have zero
issues with that.
No, yeah. Really not. It's like, this was my choice. I chose for something. It didn't work. Well, okay, then I need to make another decision.
Yeah.
But I would have zero problem. I think it wouldn't be a problem to maintain myself. I'm not going to end up under the bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have friends that will have me over. Like, I have family. Like, you know, it won't be that dramatic.
I love that perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do I need to sell my house? Well, I will sell the house. Like, what can I? Yeah. There's
if
always.
It comes to that.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. There's always options. Yes, because people fear very much that step, right?
I mean, I wouldn't say, like, I have concerns, and like you, I would make sure it's calculated risk.
Yeah.
But the thought of going back, like, it's an option, but if I want to do something, that would never be, let's say, plan B or C. Like, it wouldn't be an option, basically. In my head, it would be a step forward, and then I don't think even about stepping back. But the way you're describing it, you're like, yeah, if it doesn't work out, we do that again, and yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I feel like that's way healthier.
And I think the issue is that many people see that once you've made such a decision, if you would do something different, that would be seen as a failure.
Yeah.
For me, the point is not so much about corporate or no corporate. I'm still doing corporate.
Yeah.
I'm just doing it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still working with big corporations. I love marketing, advertising, communications, branding. I'm still doing the same thing that I was doing before. If the challenge with a company would come along, and I've been contacted a few times for permanent roles.
Yeah.
If the challenge would be interesting enough for me to jump on board for another 3 years into a company because of the nature of the challenge,
yeah,
I would do it.
No issues.
No, not at all. So I don't have this thing about corporate, no corporate, you leave, you never go back. Like, why are we so black and white?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we so binary in that regard? For me, it's about what I do every day.
Yeah, great point.
So do I enjoy what I'm doing? Maybe if a company calls me up and I find that company interesting and what the challenge at hand is interesting for the next 3 years,
yeah,
I will do it. So I
don't. Same with any other thing. Yeah.
With any other thing. Yeah. So for me, it's not about corporate or not corporate. For me, it was my lifestyle is not according to how I would want it to be in the traditional corporate setting.
Yeah.
In the traditional corporate setting, I don't get the holidays I would want. I don't get the freedom that I would want. I get all these politics. And in my mind, I have already done what was expected of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the conditioning that I've been carrying all my life from family, from friends, from media, from society, from you have to do career, you got to go to university, you got to grow, you got to do the ladder, all the boxes.
Yeah.
I felt I ticked them all. Yeah. And I could continue to tick them up. But the point, what's the point?
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't make you happy.
So it's like, for whom am I doing this more ticking the box, right? Or having a bigger role or a bigger job or more people, more money, more budget, and more whatever. Like, yeah, but actually for me, the question was when I was at Vodafone and then the merger with Sego came about.
Yeah.
That was the moment that for me was very unexpected to people that I at that moment left.
Yeah.
But that was precisely the moment for me to leave, because what I was about to be doing every day was going to change dramatically.
Yeah.
So for me, I've always looked at what is it that I do with the 8 hours that I am involved with my job? Do I thoroughly enjoy what I'm doing?
Yeah.
Yes. That's why I was at Vodafone for 12 years. Like, people were like, oh my God. I'm like, you have to switch every 3 to 4 years, 5, 6, 7, whoa, 8, 9. Oh my God. I'm like, I love what I do every single day. So I have no rush, no issue, no need to go anywhere and do anything where I'm thoroughly enjoying what I do every day. And I had a fantastic team and we were on a roll and it was just the time of my life. But then suddenly this new decision comes about.
Everything's about to change.
Everything's about to change. Everything is going to be about the merger. Everything is going to be like, I'm going to have to be for the next 3 years of my life involved with this merger and managing this merger with everything that comes with it. I was going to have to leave behind the beautiful work that I was doing purely for the Vodafone brand, because I was going to be concerned with Vodafone and Sego and managing the merger. And it was precisely at that point, whilst people were thinking, I have the potential to become the brand director of two of the biggest brands in the country.
Yeah.
Like, I would be crazy not to. And it was precisely
when you did not.
When I did not, because it was like, okay, but what am I going to do 8 hours a day for the next 3 years of my life? This is going to be totally about everything that represents. I said, this is an amazing challenge, but it's just not mine.
No.
Yeah. It has to be for somebody else. And I had already been there for 12 years. I did everything I wanted to do ever and more and dreamt of and more.
So fulfilled.
So fulfilled every single day to the very end. And then I put the ribbon and then it's like, okay, and now somebody else has to come and I'm going to pass the baton to somebody else. And they can come and enjoy this challenge, which is not mine to enjoy.
And they can own it.
Yeah. But if a corporate company comes in now with a challenge that I'm thoroughly going to enjoy, of course I will. So it to me, it's not. So yeah, I find that very interesting of people feeling, for example, that if I've been freelancing now for 6 years and I would go back to corporate, like, I have zero issues with that.
Yeah.
You know, and people would find it for them a failure, or you go and you never look back. And it's like, well, why do we have that way of looking at things? For me, it's about, what do I do?
I think that's beautifully put, because it's about the essence.
Yeah.
Like, I love thinking about owning a company or doing things on my own, because they are new challenges.
Yeah.
But the reason why I'm still here, we were talking about it, I'm going to hit 5 years like next February.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, that's a long time. But it's still the time that I enjoy. Yeah. I get to go to Barcelona and work from there for a month. I have full flexibility. I get to do this podcast. Like, there's so many things, so many avenues. I get to work more with people now. I'm now a team lead. And I'm going to do, I have challenges there with people now. It's besides projects. Like, there's still so many things I love doing here and I have the flexibility to do so.
Yeah.
That, yeah, I love it here.
I think there's so many of those beliefs that have been somehow embedded in our society and in our work life. Like, that's a long time.
Yeah.
But what does that matter?
What is the time factor?
But like, you have maybe another 30, 40 years to go. Like what?
Oh, absolutely.
What is the rush? Like, I don't understand why are we putting time as an issue in the time that we are at a company, as if the need is just to move on.
Yeah.
Whilst we are not contemplating, like, okay, but do you enjoy what you do every day?
Yeah.
That is, for me, the one thing that I don't know where it comes from, but it's naturally always been with me. I can truly say that from moment zero till now in my career, everything that I have done, I have really enjoyed. And when I didn't, then I left.
That's when you move, yeah.
That's when I move. Yeah. But not because, oh, it's been 3 years. Yeah, but I still have a lot to do. And every day I'm enjoying it. And there are more possibilities. And there is growth. And there is potential. And I have a great set of colleagues. And yeah. And I really, truly, every day I go to work with a smile on my face and with ideas constant. Like my list is always endless, right? Mm-hmm. Of like so much to do. And yeah. And if you have that energy, then what time for me was always completely irrelevant.
Yeah. I mean, I can give you my perspective. And this was the perspective of like, let's say 5, 6, 7 years ago. It was, I want to grow as fast as possible. Because that was always, I came out of uni, I saw titles, I still want to get there. I wanted to grow as fast as possible, yeah. Right? For me, it was always, okay, how much fun do I have growing? How big is the impact that I can make? And with more knowledge and more experience comes a greater impact.
Yeah.
And with that, I never thought, okay, I'm going to go from company to company and then increase my reach there. No, it was always, I'm going to join a company. I'm going to give it my all, right?
Yeah.
This is going to be everything.
Yes.
I love building relationships. I know exactly who to call when I need something done. I love knowing people and people knowing me and knowing we are effective together, basically.
Yes.
And I really enjoyed that. And when that is gone, that is the only reason why I would move from companies, basically.
Yeah.
When I stop enjoying what I'm doing, when there's no more challenges, when challenges get removed due to a reorganization or something like that, stuff happens. It can be within your team, within your influence, or completely outside factors. And that's when I've moved on. Now, I don't have a huge career history because it was like 3 companies, basically, and one was within another company-ish. So, but yeah, that's kind of the thought process. I still want to grow as fast as possible. And if that stops here, I think that's when it's time to move on then.
And what is growth?
For me, it's growth. It's both on a personal level as well as on a work level.
Yeah.
So I want to get better at life skills, basically.
Okay.
I want to learn that on the job when it comes to public speaking, meeting other people, socializing, networking.
Yes.
Being really empathetic with people, helping people, allowing for their fulfillment to be my happiness, basically. Yeah. That's
nice.
More on a personal level. And on a work level, it's more so about the skills.
Yeah.
Being effective with what I do, doing that faster, doing the right thing, not just building something, but building it for customers, for value there. And I feel like on both axes, I want to grow. I want to get better.
Yes.
I still meet people. I'm working with one guy specifically now in my team, and it's a pure joy seeing someone at that level executing. I'm like, man, it's still going to take me so long to get there. Maybe I'll never get there, but I'm really enjoying working together right now, and I don't want it to end.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah,
really, really cool. Yeah, for me, what I learned with the years at the beginning, obviously the first jobs, I didn't have that perspective. But but what did change for me, which I also give to the people that I coach in their careers, is to say, what is the intention that you have for the time that you're going to be in that company, like. When people talk about impact, for example, it's like, can we quantify what that impact is? Or what is that impact for you? Like, do you want to clean up all the plastic in the oceans? I mean, is that your level of impact? Like, or would you love to be able to impact on people, like to see their growth or change or whatever? Or do you want to grow this company from 10 million to 100? That can also be. Like, what is that impact? What would you like to have done by the time you leave? And then walk backwards and try to do that.
Yeah, lay out the path.
Yeah, and only then leave. Mm. And then that's going to give you so much pride and joy, because I get to work with many people that are moving or leaving companies out of despair, sadness, resentment, they're done, tired, they don't see it anymore, the challenges are not coming, their leaders are not inspirational, all of these things, which is a lot of external factors, indeed, which sometimes we don't have control, but there is a lot of internal factors that we do have control, even if it sounds difficult but many people I work with, it's like there is zero kind of quantifiable idea of what is it that you would like to do before you go. within the constraints and within the situation that you have within this company. It doesn't matter. You know it kind of like what you can and cannot do. And even if you have to change certain things in the company, if you put yourself to it and you have the energy for it,
yeah,
then could that also be the impact you want to leave behind? Could be that you want to change the culture. Could be, you name it. Many things that are potentially in your control for you to have an effect on. And it can be your own personal agenda.
Yeah.
It's not like people need to know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had many hidden agendas.
In a good way.
Yeah. Yeah. In a good way to try to have a positive effect in the company or in people or transform the culture or the brand or whatever it was. And I was clear about that is what I want to achieve. And until I don't do that, I'm not leaving. Because I'm on a mission to change something or to do something. And many people don't have that. They don't have a specific mission for themselves, even if it's just very simple. Yeah.
Is that easy for you to kind of lay out and also towards the future? Because that's, for me, what I have more a hard time with.
Yeah.
Because I'm usually, and I feel like I'm getting better at it, but especially past versions of me have been a lot reactive.
Yes.
As in, this is now an opportunity and I can see a lot of enjoyment in there.
Yeah.
But I would never lay out that I want to grow towards there and do that, basically. That's
hard. I understand. I understand. Yeah, it is. It is. It takes, it comes sometimes with age, maybe that clarity, or, but it's not only because I had it when I was young as well. Like, I think it's interesting to find intrinsically what drives you. What do you care about? Is that the question is really, what do you care about? I care about consideration, to be considerate to other people, and to be mindful and to be respectful. That for me is so embedded in me. I don't know why, but it's truly fundamental.
It's
core. Yeah. It's core to me. I care that people are respectful and that they are mindful of one another and how we deal with each other. But also when it has to do with companies, like how does this company behave? So sometimes I get people telling me like, yeah, but I am very low in the organization. Like I don't have a lot of control. I don't have a lot of influence. And I'm like, that's not really an excuse.
Yeah.
When I was, and I give these examples sometimes, when I was just at the beginning of my career as a communications specialist, I was only looking at advertisements that our agency would write, and then I would approve them or not, and then publish them. Like that was as far as my, you know,
that was the thing,
influence went,
or
my decision level, but still. Again, my hidden agenda was I don't necessarily like how corporates talk, how they speak to people, how they address people, also in their advertising.
Tone of voice.
Tone of voice, yeah. It's very patronizing and very much from we are on the top of the mountain and you, the little people, you do
arrogant.
What I tell you to do. Exactly. And the level of arrogance, I really had an issue with.
I can see the resentment.
So, and I mean, I'm talking about like maybe 20 years ago, which was much worse than how today also the tone is overall in society. But and still, I would make a point and I would have my little fights with my advertising agency.
Yeah. As much as you can.
As much as I can to make that piece of text respectful
and
not to be patronizing and not to be arrogant and to put myself really to the service of the customer that I was sending that ad to. As I grew up and as I went up and I had more and more, you know, responsibility and decision-making power, of course, then I made my impact even bigger in that sense with like truly trying to transform an entire company and an entire brand.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really matter. Wherever I go, I always have it in me, this thing about how can this be better? How can we improve this? How can this be good for someone?
Yeah.
Can we do something? Wouldn't it be better if I have that always with every single thing I do? So it doesn't matter how small your influence is. If you know what you are about and what you care about, I do care about this. And maybe other people wouldn't care at all about this text. And did people see it really? Like, did people notice? No, but it was, for me, it was never about
other people.
Other people,
no,
yeah.
Who cares? Yeah.
Exactly. I was like, I was happy to go home that day with having a respectful piece of text that didn't make any impact in the history of the world. But it's my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's
my... It doesn't have to make impact on the world.
That's the impact that it does on me.
Exactly.
To be happy to... At least my ads are going to be good and respectful.
Yeah.
Right?
In line with what you value.
Exactly. In line with what I care and what I really truly also believe that corporates need to be much more service-minded and to put themselves really in that role. So that's always how I looked at everything. So, and... I didn't have at that moment like, okay, I will only leave when my ads are going to be that way.
Yeah.
But because I was in no place to be leaving, because I was very happy with what I was doing, but I always had like some kind of impact or some kind of goal that I wanted to achieve, even if just for myself, where I could see the effect of what I do.
Mm.
And if even within when you have very little influence, It doesn't really matter. And I said it many times. If I had to go and work at the supermarket as a cashier, I would find ways to make it better.
Yeah.
To improve it, to be of good service to the people coming in. Like it's in me. So it doesn't matter where you are, and or how big you are in the organization or how fast you go. I think sometimes people have that, like, it's not very clear what that is. And because it's not clear and it's not going to come out of nowhere, then we get lost. And then it's like, well, I have to go somewhere else. Yeah. And then 8 months later,
it's going to be the same.
You have the same in the next place. Yeah. Because you didn't figure out of yourself, what do you really truly care about?
Yeah.
And what are you here to do with your intention in the time that you're going to be here? And maybe... You thought it was going to be one way and then you come in and then after a few months you might discover, well, maybe not. But still, even then, what with the possibilities that you have for as long as you're going to be here, every day when you come and you open your laptop, how are you going to view things?
Yeah.
In what way?
What are you going to do?
What do you want to achieve for yourself? And it's so much nicer and so much better to than 2 years, three, five, seven, doesn't matter, whenever. You're like, oh, I did that thing.
Yeah.
And that was for me the thing with Vodafone. It's like, oh, I did that. I did what I wanted to do. I transformed this brand. Now we are on a roll. Unfortunately, it's going to stop. But I did what I set myself out to do.
You reached fulfillment.
Yeah. And then now is the moment for me to go. And therefore, I'm totally okay with leaving.
Yeah.
And moving onwards and passing it on to somebody else, and now it's their challenge.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then when I go now, even as a freelancer, many people ask me, yeah, but as a freelancer, you cannot really have a lot of influence or impact, or because you go short time and you're in and out, and feels like, you know, you do it for financials, you don't really care. Not at all.
No, not at all. Why would you do it otherwise?
Not at all. Yeah, but I do the same thing. As it's like, okay, I have 6 months in this place or 7 months in this place. What is it that I can do within the context of the challenge that's been given to me, what I need to do here?
Yeah.
And what would I like to leave behind when I look at the situation?
Mm.
Okay. And then I put myself to do that during those 6 months. And I keep constantly looking at the endpoint, which is the date that I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are some of the fundamentals that I need to leave behind in this time to really
moving the needle?
Yeah, to really help this company. Yeah, and to really, really be of good service to them and to the team and to the people that are here. And then I walk backwards, and then that's why my days are completely like flying by.
Yeah.
Because it's like I don't have enough time to do what I want to do. And not that I cannot create the impact, it's just that there's so much bubbling all the time in my mind as to how to do that for them.
And to contribute.
So the construction, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Contract, freelance, full-time, part-time, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, what do you care about? Yeah. What do you want to leave behind? And can we sometimes quantify a little bit some of those terms?
Yeah.
Like I want to have an effect or I want to have an impact. Okay. What exactly?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it feels like the way you describe it, and I don't know how to get this. I think I have it, but I don't know how to convey this. Some people have this intrinsic motivation that whatever they do, they want to do it better, right? More effective, more efficient, more optimized, basically elevate it. And I had that when I was 16 and was working at like a fish and chips in Volendam, because I was like, okay, if we do this and this and this, it's going to be more efficient. I'm going to have more time to do other stuff, basically. In my head, I was optimizing. My little brother has it. He worked out as a cashier. He was like stocking shelves and stuff. And he was like, if we do it like so and so, it's going to be better. We can do more based on that. Some people have that. They want to optimize. They want to do better. And some people just want to come in, do the thing, and then go out.
Sure.
I don't know how you can get from one end to the other. And then even if so, if you really want to do your best, right? If we're talking about kind of your early experience when you had this article in front of you and it wasn't the tone of voice that you stand behind, right?
Yeah.
You could have said, okay, this is not the tone of voice I stand behind, and then let it slide. But you're not a person that's afraid for a confrontation. So you probably got into that conversation and maybe you didn't think it was going to be a confrontation.
Yeah.
But at the end, probably, I'm sure it was a discussion, right? People that don't like discussions, they're never going to take that step and do that, even though they might value something when things are not in line. They would never take that extra step and do so.
Yeah.
Do you feel like people should be more inclined to have those conversations? Is it because they think they can't really change their sphere of influence that much? Or what do you think it is?
It really depends on how open are you to have that conversation. And indeed, what is your breadth? what's the, and also the time span you're going to give yourself. Like I knew that later on when I really wanted to change, for example, a brand which was highly commercial into being a lot more purposeful.
Yeah.
I knew that it was going to be blood, sweat and tears for years. I knew that we were a highly commercially driven company, very much sales driven push, which was going to take like a complete different mentality to go to where I wanted to bring it to. And I knew that I wasn't going to do it in one day.
Mm-hmm.
But then it really depends, again, on like how much do you really care about.
Yeah.
So for me, I placed myself and I said, okay, listen, I'm in my work environment. I have another 40 years to work in my career. This matters to me. So I'm just going to be here for as long as I need to be.
Yeah.
Until I get this thing done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because otherwise, what is the point of doing anything when I can have maybe the capacity to influence such a big brand? And I literally said that to my team. I from the very beginning, I said, I don't know how long this is going to take.
Yeah.
It's going to take long.
This is the goal though.
Yeah. But this is indeed the goal. And I painted the picture and the picture was beautiful. And it was exciting and it was motivational and it was, And then we walked back and then we realized that we still needed to do loads of things that maybe we didn't really enjoy that much or like, okay. And this is also where I often tell people, it's like, if you look at the bigger picture, there will be things that you don't really enjoy, that you don't really want to do. Not everything is going to be fun. Not everything is going to be enjoyable. Not everything is going to be an intellectually rich challenge. But is that in the context of that bigger picture? Then do that in order to achieve what you want to achieve. So we knew that we were still going to have a very, you know, concentrated focus on sales until we slowly would be able to move to another space. So I wasn't naive to try to convince people by talking to go somewhere because it was just not going to work. I said, this is going to be massaging, this is going to be politics, this is going to be a lot of work.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a lot of time, but I have the patience, right? Like for me, time is irrelevant.
Yeah.
The point is, what do I want to achieve? And I was, again, I was on a mission to change something that really mattered to me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, for as long as it takes.
That's it.
For as long as it takes, because what is the rush? To go anywhere, to do what, that it might not be just as important or as impactful for me as this could potentially be. And for this entire team of people, my team was there pretty much the entire 5 years that I ended up having this role. We were the same team. It's like we went for it. Yeah. And we still, we talked to each other and we said, oh, those were the days. Like, yeah. It was amazing, wow. Right? But it was hard. It was really, really hard. Like don't think that making a big change can go fast.
No.
But do you have the patience and do you have the willingness to go through the difficulties of every day and come back next day and keep going?
Yeah. Yeah? I feel like your belief needs to be very strong as well, because sometimes I'm like, man, this is not possible either within the context, this organization with these people, like it's not possible. Yeah. And especially when you have a long-term plan and a vision that is strong, you need to have belief that it is still possible.
Yes. And I have to say, it's one of the skills that really helps. And I was blessed with it, is to be good with politics. Mm. I saw it as a game.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, I saw it as a game. It's chess. It's playing chess. It's or Aikido. Yeah. Okay. It's like, yeah. I didn't see it as that much of a negative thing. Of course, it's not pleasant to be dealing with all of these things and people's fears. At the end, it's all fear based. And but I always took it as like, okay, let's see if I can manage this one.
Make it happen.
Yeah. Let's see if I can turn around this person, or let's see if we can get it to another space. Again, a hidden agenda for me. I was very clear in my mind what I was trying to do with this person, or where I was trying to get them to go, or try to switch their mentality. And I enjoyed it. So I didn't see politics as a dirty thing in a sense, but it's just psychology. So and it's just people.
Yeah.
So it's like, how are you going to deal with this person? Because there is a reason why this person is acting this way.
Yeah.
There is a reason behind their anger or their frustration or their fear or whatever it is that is making your life hell. Yeah. So let's figure out where this person is coming from and what is the pressure they're getting from above or from the side, or don't look just at yourself. Look at this person and try to figure out what is going on with them, because nobody wakes up in the morning to be difficult.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I feel like it is really innate in you, kind of this curiosity and perspective, because I hear a lot of people say it is what it is. It's one of my phrases that I hate the most.
It is what it is.
People just say it, I'm like, but that means you can't influence it. You can't change it. You've accepted that there's no change.
It's not true.
I feel like with you, you're like, no, there must be something.
There is always a way.
Yeah.
There is always a way. If there is a will, there's a way. And it is all about people.
Yeah.
But okay, if we're willing to give up very easily, if it doesn't go your way from the start, then. But if you understand that, I always say it like that. I said, nobody wakes up in the morning to make your life hell.
Yeah.
That's not what...
It's not a mission from
it's
someone.
It's not a mission from someone getting up in the morning and saying, hey, let's see if I can make Patrick's life hell today. Yeah. But people take it that way.
Yeah. It feels like that sometimes.
It feels like an attack or feels personal. And I slowly, of course, I'm also human. It came also with age and learning, but I learned to less and less, obviously, start to make it about me and taking it personal, not let it come to my side of the court.
Yeah.
To be able to draw the line objectively and say, this person is suffering. Mm. This person has an issue.
Yeah, there's something wrong.
Something is going on. Yeah. And it's not because of me. It might be because of their boss. It might be because of pressure. It might be because of their family. Maybe they had a bad day. Maybe their wife is in the hospital. Who knows? Something is going on with this person. That doesn't mean it's my problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because now you're being an idiot and it's not my problem.
Yeah, you take yourself out of it.
Yeah. But do we have the capacity and the empathy and the willingness to like take a moment and really have a series of questions and an interest in what is going on with this person, rather than the clash and the conflict and we both go away and we escalate? And that's one of the things I really, really don't like at all is escalation.
Yeah.
Going to your bosses or going up and up and up and up. No. We're going to solve it and we're going to sort it out ourselves. But it takes a lot of, again.
Takes more patience and empathy than escalating.
Exactly. It's much easier to go and make a problem out of it or make a big fuss out of it or go into conflict than like okay, but wait a minute, but what is going on? Like, and there are many ways to have those conversations. And I've also been trained in like giving feedback or having difficult conversations. And you can learn also a lot of it and then put it into practice and become much better at it.
Yeah.
But I saw politics not as a bad thing, but as a people start acting in a certain way. But they're not against me.
No, it's not willingly.
No. There is another reason behind. But do we want to even go there?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wanted to go there because
not a lot of people want to.
No. But I was like, no. I'm not gonna let this happen. No. We're gonna have this conversation. I'm going to ask you again and again and again until you finally tell me what is going on. More importantly, when I had that information, and it could be. So imagine somebody wants me to do something and I don't want to do it in the way that they're telling me to do it because they're just giving orders. And I also have a little bit of difficulty with just yes, sir.
Blindly.
It's like, why? Based on what? Like, okay. So somebody comes to me and maybe because I'm a service department, for example, or so perceived. And I'm like, yeah, but this request really doesn't make any sense. It's a waste of money. It's a waste of effort. It's a waste of resources. It's like, I'm not going to go to my agency and ask them to do this also blindly without any creativity, just because you've said, I want this and I want it red and I want it with these letters. It's like, okay. Then you have to have the willingness and the patience to go through those questions. And then what turns out at the end, for example, is that their boss is pressuring them.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they're pressuring me.
Yeah.
So it just goes down. Yeah. So what I do is instead of that, then I team up with this person because I said, okay, but what is the pressure? What does he want? Is he further being pressured more, even more from high above? Do you know that? Like, where is that pressure coming from for him or her? What can we do in that? Okay, so is he looking for this or is he looking for an answer? Is he looking for a solution about this or would he be happy if this other person would get off his back because of this? Like, help me understand what really the core of the issue is. The issue is not that you want this in red with these words.
Yeah, that's not it.
That's not it. No. Something is going on. Your boss is pressuring you also for some reason. Mm. So what is that reason?
Yeah.
So that things change from us being in conflict, me fighting with this person, I'm not going to give you what you want because I think it's nonsense what you're asking me. Yeah, but I'm asking you but I'm asking you to do it. No, but I'm not going to do it. And then our bosses need to intervene and then there's escalation and there's conflict between the two of us. The exact same situation can be completely turned around to then become allies and become a team to do something to solve the issue for their boss. Suddenly I'm the good person. I'm the good colleague.
Yeah, yeah. You're in their corner.
Yeah, I'm in their corner. And we are going to solve this together because their boss is pressuring them for a reason.
Yeah.
And they don't want to be pressured, but they haven't done that exercise with their boss, but I'm going to do it with you.
Mm.
And then I feel sorry that you're feeling pressured, but that's not really my problem, but I'm going to help you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now we're becoming friends. Yeah. And now I'm going to give you a good solution that you can give to your boss that is based on addressing the challenge and not following orders.
Exactly.
And the solution might be different than what you came to me with. But you have to give me the room now to address the issue.
Yeah.
Don't tell me what to do. Tell me what the challenge is. And then I will give you an answer. And the answer is probably better than what you came up with. I will make you see that in a nice way that it's not going to feel offending to you. We're going to go to your boss. Your boss is going to be happy and you're going to be happy and we're going to be happy colleagues. And that's how I got my way around to do a ton of stuff with sympathy and with agreement with people in the company because there was a good solution, there was resolution and I got that often that people thought it's easy working with you.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that it's easy working with me. It's that I am making an effort. Of course, it's easy to work with me, but because I'm making an
effort
to not let things escalate. More importantly, to go blindly.
Yeah, you're solving real problems instead of just following orders.
I had that with my very very direct boss at the beginning. It took him time to also work with me in the sense that he was used to like giving orders,
yeah,
and people, people do that. Would execute,
yeah.
But then here
if
I came
you're
along,
like, they're yeah. like, huh?
And then I would tell him, okay, I'm more than happy to do that, but could you give me a little bit of context
yeah.
as to where is this coming from? You're asking me this for a reason. You have an intention with what you're asking me to
yeah.
do.
It's not clear.
What is that intention? What do you want to achieve with this? Because I can say, yes, sir, go back and give you exactly what you're asking me to do. Or I can just say, could you give me a little bit of like, where is it coming from? What is going on in your mind?
Yeah.
What's, you're asking me this, you've been thinking about this. Like you don't come up this morning and just say, no. let's keep her busy, right? Like there is something that you want to achieve with this thing you're asking me. So first it would be like, yeah, I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
But I would just stay there very friendly, yeah, very calmly. But you do have an intention. Help me understand what you want to get with this. Because you're, and I would mirror him as well. I could say, like, I can see that you're annoyed, or I can see that there's urgency
yeah.
in this. So something is going on, or, yeah. or something has made you ask me for this. And because I was so a pain in the ass in the sense of like, I'm not moving from this chair
yeah, yeah.
until...
No budging.
Yeah. And I'm not a bit getting angry or not. I'm just very calmly like, but I'm I'm truly interested
yeah.
in you because I need to understand why I do what I do.
Of course.
Otherwise...
That's a big thing for me as well.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's like, what do I do? Leave the room with like, yes, sir, the
no,
orders
I can't do
deliver.
That.
I can't do no. that. I need to understand why I do what I do and I want to be... intellectually challenged.
Yeah.
Right. So, more importantly, what he was asking me to do, I thought it was nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where there's a big driver.
How do you tell that?
Yeah.
yeah. To your boss, like, I'm sorry, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Like, no, well, now you're going to do it because I tell you so. Okay. Go and do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I didn't want to find myself in those situations.
Yeah.
So, okay. So then I would ask him and again and again and again, he finally would tell me what the reason was. Okay, there had been something internal and blah, blah, blah. And now our competition is coming close to us on this, which it shouldn't have happened. And blah, blah, blah. Okay, so you need an answer and you need quick action to try to counterbalance something. Do I understand that correctly? Yes. Okay, said, give me 24 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, and let me think about this. And I'm going to come back with something. Okay, turns out sometimes I would come up with a better solution.
Of course, because
yeah.
you understand the problem.
I understand the challenge,
yeah.
and I give it thought, and I put some people to think about it, and then we come up with a solution that is more effective, more cost-effective as well. We're going to spend less money. We're going to have better reach. We're going to, like, whatever. And it was not to say mine is better, but just to say, and I would tell them this. I said, I can do
yeah.
A, which you asked me to do. I've been thinking about it. Here's B. This is what we can achieve with B.
Yeah.
You tell me. Yeah. And B was, of course, better than A.
Of course.
Yeah. And he would see that. And he would say, like, yeah, okay, and do B. Okay. I would do B, hopefully, and luckily, would turn out to be successful. Great. Next time, same thing.
Yeah.
He would come and then to the point that we worked together for a few years and then we would laugh about it. And then he would call me to his office. And the first thing he would say is like, let me give you some context.
Exactly.
Yeah.
yeah
but
yeah.
laughing, right?
He has the trust now.
Yeah. And because he knew that he couldn't, you know, so it became really, really funny. And then, you know, we would truly laugh about it. Let's take 5 minutes for context. you know, like he knew that yeah. he couldn't just tell me, okay, just do that. But, and then we would solve challenges. So I always told everyone, like, because I work in branding and marketing, and that happens very often because people have a very particular opinion about branding and communications.
Yeah. yeah,
everybody thinks they know mm-hmm. what to do, right? So, and they come already with the solution. Give me a poster, give me a print ad, give
yeah.
me a social media post. This is what I need. And I'm like, no, don't tell me what you need. Don't
yeah.
tell me what to do. Don't tell me what the touch points are. Tell me what the challenge is, and
yeah.
then I will give you the solution to that challenge from a communications and marketing perspective. But this takes a lot of massaging and standing and not barging and asking the questions. But if you do realize that by doing that time and time again, it didn't take my boss 15 times to have this conversation. It took us three, maybe, for him to understand that he needed to let me know what the issue at hand was, rather than marching orders wasn't going to work. So after three times, four times, five times, then we got to learn how to work with one another. And the same went for my direct colleagues.
Yeah.
I treated that the same way. I said, but where is the issue coming from?
Yeah.
Or what makes you react this way? Or I can see that you're annoyed, or I can see that you're frustrated, or that you want something different. And I can see that.
Yeah.
Meaning you're out of line. Like you have a problem. It's not my problem.
No.
I'm here calmly and you are coming in like, what is going on with you?
Mm-hmm.
Not with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you do that in a nice way and in a friendly way and in a collaborative way. And then you get your way around. And I learned and I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To navigate that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it was kind of like a game to me, in the sense of like, can I make this happen?
Yeah.
Like, can I turn that around? Can I use my personal skills and my emotional skills to address what is going on with someone? And that eventually evolved over time to realizing that I could read through people, I could see people, and that's what then started developing into mentoring and coaching. And I had that within me, like, to see what's going on with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, something is not quite right, and I could see through that, and that also developed into being part of my career eventually.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, me too.
For me, the figuring out the why has always been a big thing from a software development perspective. But exactly the same thing you laid out. Tell me what the problem is, or the challenge is, or the context, and then we can come up with a better solution than you can give me. I didn't know that shines through or holds true in a lot of aspects, but it makes total sense.
Yes.
Right? It doesn't matter what you're building, what you're doing, basically. When you understand the context, understand the challenge or the problems or even the boundaries that are there, right? You can come up with a solution. And it doesn't matter what the solution is at the end of the day or which solution we take. No, it matters that we have together a shared understanding and we pick the solution we think is right.
Exactly.
That's the most important part.
And that makes... That changes everything from conflict to being able to work together in a good way. Because the moment you instead of saying, well, I don't want to do that, or that doesn't make any sense, or I don't have time for that, or I'm really sorry, but that doesn't fit my blah, 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 all the conflicts that are happening from clashing, from I don't want to do what you're asking me.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, 70% of the times, I didn't want to do what people were asking me. But it is about truly caring about trying to understand this person. And when it's disarming also to the person. When you stop and you don't go into the conflict, into the I'm not going to do that for you, but you go into the, what would you like to achieve with this?
Yeah.
Like, I'm really interested in you. I'm really interested in knowing what do you want? Because I am going to give you what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying I'm not going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. But then suddenly people feel like, oh, I'm being heard and I'm being listened to, and she actually...
Because they are,
Because she cares about what I have to say. Well, yes, I do. And also because I'm not going to go with your solution.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not going to tell you that from the start, because we're going to conflict and we're going to crash and we're going to clash and we're going to escalate. And
yeah, it's not productive.
Not at all. So it's like, but I already know that I'm not going to do what you're asking me. But I am going to also take you to a space where, first of all, I'm going to gather more information to understand the issue. Second, I'm going to make you feel heard and understood. And that's the part of the playing the game of the politics, which can be a little bit manipulative sometimes, but never in a bad way, because it was always meant to for the improvement of things. But it's like, do you also really care about the person you have in front of you?
That makes you good at it.
Yeah.
I can see now that you're good at it.
Yeah, because it's like, it's very disarming for people. People are used to, like, it's either a yes or a no. Either you do what I'm telling you or you're telling me no, and then we get in a fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's no.
It's not like that.
No. It's going to take me maybe three more steps. But
patience.
Patience. Yeah, yeah. It's everything. Really.
Yeah.
Like, it's the most important thing that people don't have.
No time. Somehow there's no time for no one.
But for what? Yeah. But like, what are you trying to achieve? If you want to change something, or if you want to, how do you want your days to be?
Yeah.
At work? Do you want your days to be revolving around difficulty and conflict? Because that's what many people do. It's like to the barricades every day. It's like, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to spend my days like that. And also, I don't have the fantasy that we're all one big happy family.
Kumbaya.
Yeah, that's also not the case. No. Because I think companies, corporations are one of the biggest social experiments ever. Mm. Like, you put 20, 30, 50, 200 people together that are completely different from one another. And it's like, all right, you guys, go figure it out.
Yeah.
It's like, it's insane. Yeah. So of course that's going to be conflict and clashing. And like, we don't understand each other the same way. We're completely different in the way that you operate and I operate and everything. So I never had the fantasy that in any work environment is always going to be, it can be respectful, can be fun, can be nice. But at the end of the day, people are coming with their own selves to work, which are, we are all full of flaws and issues, and we bring that to the workspace.
Yeah, all the baggage.
Of course, same as on the personal life, we bring it to work. So, and off we go, yeah? And then you have to work with one another, which are people that you haven't even chosen for yourself. So it is very hard to be in a company because it's like this huge... Yeah, I mean, really, there should be like cameras in to analyze how we operate in there, and it's so insular and it's so belly looking, and it is like there's nothing else in the world.
Yeah,
it's like the world revolves around this company, and it's like so not true at all.
No.
But that's the feeling, and then that's happening every day, 8 hours a day. So
in every organization also.
Boom,
yeah.
And changes and COVID and this and that, and it's like constant, and. But I never had the fantasy that my intention was to create this beautiful harmony that we're all going to meditate. And no, that's also not reality.
No.
But within that context, you can make your life much easier and enjoyable and bring it to your own place and drive your own agenda if you are very conscious of what you're doing every day.
And what you want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's also another one. Many people are not conscious. It's just automatic pilot, right? Even if you're at home working remote or in the office, we open the laptop and close the laptop. What was the intention that day? Like, what is driving you to be here and to do what you do? And if you have that agenda of yours, smaller or bigger in terms of what you want to change, address, impact, you name it, then it doesn't really matter.
No.
So you know where you're going, and also helps you to filter your interactions and decision making on that basis, because suddenly things are not that important anymore.
Yeah.
To have an issue or to have a clash. If you have the patience and you know that what you want to achieve is going to take you maybe 3 years, and you have an issue with someone today, it's not that it's not important.
It's
but
like it grounds you and gives you perspective.
Yeah, because tomorrow is another day and it's fine. Then you come back, but address the issue and try to work with this person so that, and for me it was, you know, like that, like I also tell it to my clients, it's like it's never ending. You know, the guacamole?
Guacamole,
you know, that thing on the fair? It's that thing.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. It's like, it's, another one. Boom. Yeah. Okay. We're going to have the conversation. I'm going to have to ask you the questions and we're going to have to go through that. And then my boss is popping up again with a marching order. Boom. Another one down.
Here we go.
Yeah. Here we go. And it's every day. And it's like, okay, well, I have another one to put down. Yeah. And not in a bad way, but like, really, I'm going to address it. And I'm not going to say that I thoroughly enjoyed it, but yeah.
It's still fun.
It's fun. Yeah. If you see it as I am on my path to something.
Yeah.
And I'm going to come across people that they're not going to agree with me, or they're not going to operate in the way that I do, or my bosses are going to ask me for things. And hey, and at the end, of course, I couldn't always achieve everything I wanted.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end, it's their prerogative on a number of things. And it's their decision. But again, that also brings you perspective. Like, okay, today didn't go my way, maybe that's okay.
Then
I come back tomorrow and I keep going. Yeah. So I always had that, and therefore, time becomes irrelevant. Conflict is more doable.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can manage
it's more
it.
Bearable.
It's bearable. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. To the point of almost enjoyable from the perspective of like, okay, but if I can bring somebody along,
you
and
move the needle.
Yeah, I move the needle, and this colleague now sees me as an ally and as a good person to work with instead of an enemy, and understanding that really human nature by definition is we are good people.
Yeah. At the end of the day,
we are. Yeah, it's at the core of it is good intentions, is love. It's we are made of like good stuff. Yeah. Yeah. If somebody is coming in and being very difficult, something is going on.
Yeah. Something must be wrong then.
Yeah, and at their end, and don't let that come to your side of the court and ruin your day. Of course, it's difficult because it's not easy not to take it personal, and this has taken me many years to be able to address that and not make it to
making
me
your issue. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's and if you do that, then okay, and then when you're ready, then and you do what you wanted to do, then okay,
then
time to move. Yeah,
it's I love your perspective, and kind of your awareness of a goal makes time and the feeling of now way more irrelevant.
Yeah.
And that allows you to be grounded in those conversations and still steer people, have the patience, and collaborate. Yeah. I always said, this is kind of one of my last thoughts because I really have to round it off now.
Yes.
We're running a really long time. But I always said escalations are not a bad thing because for me, especially early on, I got things done because of them.
Yeah.
Right? Also me, I didn't have the patience. I wanted to go faster.
Yes.
I thought we could go faster.
Yeah.
So if I needed to escalate to get something done, I'd be fine.
Yeah.
I'd be like, this is how we do it.
Yes.
That's normal.
Yeah.
But I do agree that the right way would be to have the patience to talk it out.
Yes.
Right? It doesn't have to be an escalation.
Yeah.
I never liked escalating, but I would do it, basically. I wasn't afraid of doing it.
Yes.
Because if I felt something was right, I wasn't going to sit down and take it. No, I was going to escalate and make sure that what I thought was right was at least going to be discussed.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it would never be a discussion.
Yeah. And I had as a manager was when I was a leader, and I would get people to escalate to me, or they would come to my desk and on our one-on-ones, they would just throw up like, you know, issues about this colleague and that other colleague and whatever, and this person from the other department. And they would, in a way, were asking me to solve it. For themselves with their own managers or with their own bosses. I always had the same thing. I said, when you escalate, you also don't realize that now I have to do the work for you.
Yeah.
And I also have my bosses above me that I need to deal with. And I have you guys as my team. And now you are, because I'm your manager, when you come into a problem, then the easier thing is to escalate and then put it on my plate. And now I need to solve it with my peer, with the boss of this other person. I would always stop it.
Mm.
And I would not act upon it necessarily, but rather have the conversation with this person first and said, what has happened in a sense, without saying it literally, but, and then I would guide them and help them and mentor them and everything to like, what is it that you have not managed at your level to solve this issue? I also have them at my level every single day, three times.
Everyone does.
Everyone does. And I'm not escalating one to my bosses.
Yeah.
So I want you to not escalate to me because I want you to solve it and address the issue. And it means you're not capable of having a conversation and addressing the problem with your colleague.
Yeah.
And then you get frustrated and then you escalate it to me. And now you say, oh, you solve it now for me.
Yeah.
It's like, no. So, but I wouldn't just say no to that. Of course, if it had merit and if it was logical, and of course. But I would rather, you know, have the conversation to mentor this person as to how to have the conversation with this colleague to not let it come to that situation. And then I would say, okay, but sometimes even like, but did you actually grab a coffee with this person and have a conversation?
Yeah.
No, we've just been on email and now I'm done with it, right? And now it escalates. It's like, maybe you should take the time to grab a coffee. I'm not going to talk to their boss. as yet.
Yeah.
So please have that conversation. Figure out what the actual issue is and why did you guys are, why are you not able? This is also part of your development. You need to figure out that you need to solve your own issues.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So that's what, and therefore, I am not keen on escalating either.
Mm-hmm.
Because it looks for myself, to me, as I have not been able to address the issue.
Yeah.
And now I need to go to my boss. Only... Yeah, maybe we were going too late, but
I can tell you after the show when I ask you that. Yeah, I think you're gonna laugh about it.
But what I always said and what I do and what I still do,
yeah.
is, and this is one of the tips that has helped me the best in my career ever, is only come with good news.
Mm.
Only.
Yeah.
To your bosses. Only. Talk about a milestone you have done, something you have achieved. A great email from a colleague that was very happy with your work, share it. People that couldn't get along with each other, you have intervened and now, you know, there's great collaboration, whatever, whatever. And you talk about that. Only good news.
Mm.
Never an issue. Unless it was really, really, really to the point that I had given it my all and couldn't solve it anymore.
Yeah.
Or for their information about something very specific that they needed to be aware of. But never with complaints, bad news, or escalations.
Yeah, with ever. Solutions.
Anything that comes to any of my bosses in their inbox will always be pleasant to read. Always.
Mm.
Something good that happened. Yeah. Yeah. We are improving this thing. We have left the legacy behind. We have addressed the next milestone. We have started collaboration with HR and corporate communications, and now we are working together on this and that, and look at the first results. They're awesome. Only that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what if you needed them to, let's say, change a process or something like that based on feedback?
No, that's okay. Like addressing something that is not working.
Yeah.
Yes, but what I always do as well, I might tell my bosses that something is not working or that I would like to see something different. But if I say that, then I coming already with the potential solution.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not yeah. just the problem.
No, never like throw things on the table
yeah.
for them to solve. Or now it's your problem.
Exactly.
Or now you need to deal with it. And now you need to do the investigation. And now I need to think of the solution whilst I also have my full on job
yeah.
already.
Yeah, yeah.
And I need to do yours as well. So I'm always like, try to solve it. Come up always with good news. Let your emails be always a pleasant thing to read and never give problems. And when there are issues, because of course there are.
There will be.
Always, yeah. always. We need to address. I mean, my list are always endless of things to solve and address and things that are not working and could be improved. But I always come with, I have looked at it. This is the potential solution, or I've looked at it, we're stuck.
Yeah.
And I would need your help for this specific thing
yeah.
on this day with this person. Yeah. Like I am having something now where in the project that I'm working where some decision is going to the board of directors and I am prepping my board member to let him know that this is coming on the agenda on that day and that I really need him to support.
Yeah.
That for that to go through. Okay. Because if that doesn't happen, then we're pretty screwed yeah, on something.
Exactly.
Okay. But that's okay. But I am telling him, hey, we've already investigated everything. We are ready to go. We have it all. Has passed security, has passed all these things, legal, da, 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 da. So I've done all my job. Now I do need you.
This is where I need you.
Yeah. But that's very particular because he's a board member and those decisions are happening on the board meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, of course, things are happening very often, but people have a very easy tendency to just blur everything out.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Complaining yeah. or waiting for the one-on-one to throw it all out. And I'm like, do you really realize what that does to your manager, which is already fully busy?
Yeah, yeah. Just piles on. Everyone piles on.
Can yeah. somebody give me some breather?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm that
yeah,
person.
The solution.
Yeah. I'm the solution-driven person, the good news person, that this has been taken care of, and I would only come to you. And that also makes it that you get a lot more support yeah, at yeah. that moment.
People love working with you.
Yeah. And also because if I really tell you that I'm stuck or that I need your help, it's serious.
Yeah.
Because I'm not coming with that every day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only coming every so often.
Yeah, and now it's real.
And now, yeah, and then they take it very seriously, and because they know that if not, I wouldn't ask.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I always tell people very often, like, could you please also be mindful of how much is going on already with your manager, and that blurring all your issues out, waiting for that one meeting in the week, yeah, it's maybe not the best.
It's not helpful for either side, I feel like, right? Because you're not going to feel empowered to make any change. Your manager is going to have more work, and you're going to feel like they're not really fighting for you. It's like, yeah, because you also need to fight for yourself.
Yeah.
And once you do that, I think your manager is going to love working with you more. Other yeah. people are also going to love working with you.
Yes.
Because you either bring solutions or you bring good news.
Yeah. It's and like, I had that very often, like people coming in with a problem, but then I would say, and what would you suggest?
Yeah, right.
To solve
it's not
it.
That, it's not that hard of a question.
Yeah. What would you suggest as a solution? I don't know. Didn't think of that. It's yeah. like, no. Okay. It's okay to bring the problem, but
it starts with that.
But
also,
I want you to think already of the solution. And if the solution is something that I can help you with, I will.
Of course.
I will intervene. Of course. But not just what the problem is.
No.
Yeah.
There's
a problem with this, with this, with this, with this, with this. Okay. Meeting is done. Okay. Bye.
Yeah.
Like, no. Yeah. There's a problem. Problems are going to happen every day. But what do you suggest?
Yeah.
To solve it.
I think that's a really good mantra.
Yeah.
Eva, this was a lot of fun, I must say.
Oh my gosh, very long probably.
It was quite long, but also, people don't know this, we've been talking for an hour even before that. Thank you so much for waiting for us.
Yes.
We had some issues there.
No problem. Yeah.
Was this conversation kind of what you expected going into it?
Yes. Yes, yeah. Yes. Well, we also had a
that makes it
a
easier.
Call before, yeah, also yeah. before even today and this afternoon. But you're a great host and
thank you.
Great questions. So thank yeah, you. Yeah, no. And I think it's lovely that you're doing this, addressing what goes beyond, your actual literal work every day. Yeah. So these questions are so important.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I love doing it. So
yeah.
I'm going to do it for as long as I'm going to do it.
Yes.
For as long as I can.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. But that's also like, what do you care, right? Like you do care about these questions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
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 I'm so curious. And I mean, it's basically the format that is most easy to do. It's like the time amount, right? But I could go for hours.
Yeah.
That's kind of the problem.
Yeah, me too. I don't even know what time it is. Yes.
Yeah. But I will round it off here.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
But thank you. No, thank you for having me. Yes.
Thank you so much for coming on. I'm going to put all AFOS socials in the description below. Check her out. Let her know you came from our show. And with that being said, thank you for listening. We'll see you on the next one.